different scriptures. Mark 5, this one is the big one because we're, I can't believe this happens, but we're running out of time. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to look at the, Ms. Davis, would you read that starting in verse 1, Mark 5, 1?
And they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And constantly, night and day, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gnashing himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me."
Now, stop just a second. Listen to this. This is not the guy talking. Yeah, it's that voice. He's using that voice, but this is the demon, and the demon is doing what? You need to hear it. He's asking mercy from God. I implore you by God. He's literally swearing by God. I'm telling you what. One of the things that is fascinating is how often these demonic manifestations are religious. And so here he's going, you know, remember there's legion in here. They're seeing him coming from a distance, you know, and they're kind of going, of course, the old guy that's demonized, he's just sitting there seeing nothing. But boy, they're seeing it. Here comes somebody that doesn't have any of us in it. It wasn't so-and-so supposed to take care of this guy? Yeah, but evidently it didn't work out real well. He's coming. And so they go and go, I tell you what we'll do. We'll use religious terminology. And that will, so many of these people, and you'll find them in these churches, and anywhere, you'll find them anywhere, because Satan will, you need to hear me, this is a little on the side, Satan will send somebody with demonic / mental issues into a church or into a body that is trying to head toward God, and because the power that they wield is usually pretty impressive, because they have to get your attention. Your attention is focused on them a lot. Why? Because you never know what they're going to do next. And whatever they did, it's got messed up, and it's one thing after another. And it's part of it is to take your mind off where you were supposed to be going in the first place. Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Davis, where were you at?
For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to entreat him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a big herd of swine feeding there on the mountain. And the demons entreated him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And he gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. And their herdsmen's... Okay.
Now, this one is just one to add to. You don't, in the last two things we've read, and we're going to go to the most important one here in just a second, the last two things we've read, you don't see this guy's will in this. What you see is the will of Father. What you see is the will of Yeshua coming against the will of the demons, okay? This man's will is, either one of them, probably pretty close to subservient to these demons. This guy really had it bad. I have personally seen somebody that was demonized. I've told this story before. I'm not going to go into it, but One injection after another, they were already enough medication to just, anybody else in that place would have been flattened. That was their daily dose of stuff. And they had to take this person somewhere. And it took three different hypodermics, three different injections, to get them to a point that we could get them out the door to go to the hospital where they were going to have surgery on their teeth, to get their teeth out. Why? Because they used them as weapons. There weren't many left. They had rotted out. The person, you know, when they came, weren't take care of themselves, et cetera. But this was a weapon, and it was a bad weapon too. This person would come after you quickly if they could. And they got him to the hospital. The dentist there waiting to do or doctor waiting to do the extractions had to give him another hypo. Now any of these things, but this person is demonized, and it finally knocked him out. Okay, now, wow, they're out. The second the guy finished, they said, I wasn't there, but this guy came back. Boy, he was just, oh. He said, the second that they were through, the second the doctor went, okay, her eyes opened. And they kind of had to, she couldn't walk very well, but she was awake again. That shouldn't have happened for hours, literally hours. Brought her back. This you see this stuff. There's a supernatural, a strength that's in them. The will is overcome here, but the will is not greater than the will of God. Okay? And that's what Jesus lived for. Turn to Mark chapter 7. And here we kind of are going to answer the question, then we want to go into a couple of other things. Mark chapter 7, verse 25. After hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed pretty well around here. Oh, no, that doesn't say that. Feed on the children's crumbs. And he said to her, because of this answer, go, the demon has gone out of your daughter. Now, what was the question? Can you do it from a distance? Can you do it even if the person doesn't want to cooperate? Yes. Now, what you can't do, is help somebody that refuses to be helped. You can't. Okay? But where this gets us to now, and boy, we got to wrap up a whole lot very quickly. But let's turn to, and with this, what you see is, it goes on. She got back home, the child lying on the bed, the demon having left. We see here that Jesus, not in the presence of the daughter, not dealing with the will of the person, but he's dealing with the will of the Father. Now, you're not going to, I mean, but if your life is crowded up with all sorts of stuff and not this, Andrew Womack, in that amazing and I think awful teaching on hardness of heart, the reason it's awful is because it's so blasted true. The hardness of heart is not unbelief. It's filling my life up with things that hardens my heart to God. And what has to happen is I fill my life up with this. I'm meditating on this. I'm receiving it. It changes everything. And now this is God's will. Remember, Old, New Testament. Testament is another word for will. I've got that will. And that will is now living inside me. My job was supposed to be to go out and rule anyway, but because I'm full of self and I'm full of, and by the way, when I'm listening to the music that I want to listen to, when I am watching what I want to watch, when I'm doing what I want to do, I'm full of self. And guess what? I'm not full of the will of God. And then we go, where's the power? Why don't we have the power? Go look in the mirror. I mean, you look at me too. Don't get me wrong. You can go, oh, it's because of him. Okay, fine. But the problem is, it's always me. You know, that's the issue. Now, I want us to turn. No, we don't have time to go through this. But we'll start out. Where do we start out? How do we start? Ephesians 1. And no, we're not going to go through the whole prayer. I take a deep breath. But I want to go. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start with his prayer here. And in verse 19, one of the things he is praying is that we would know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the heavenlies far above, or his right hand in the heavenlies far above, what? All rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Okay? Now, he has just told you something, is that Jesus is, and I failed to bring up one other scripture. It's one, I believe it's in Matthew, where Jesus, and it's this great, Jesus does the deductive reasoning, and he says, his final statement to them, if I cast out demons by the what? Finger of God. This didn't take, oh, we got to get wrestled. We're going to, you know. No, it's the finger. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the demons. Demons are not fallen angels. Paul's talking about the fallen angels. He's talking about the real powers in these things. And so we look in verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. These are angelic majesties, as spoken of in 2 Peter and Jude, that are in rebellion against God. These things have intrinsic power. I mean, they're nasty powerful. But what Paul is saying is he is praying for us, for those that he's praying for, that they would know what kind of power they have access to, and that they will pray in a particular way, pray with the authority of the resurrection of Christ. That's what this is saying. But then he goes on. Now, we don't have time to go into all this, but look in verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. And then he did what? This is another gift that he gave to the ecclesia for those of us that are supposed to be ruling over these people that have these issues. Not what I want, but what God wants. He gave him, here, he's looking at you, ecclesia, and he's saying, here, I'm giving you a gift. Wow, what's this gift? It's Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, but you hadn't been paying attention. That's been what the gift has been all along. The gift is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. And it's not just Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus Christ after he did what? Gave him as head over everything. Now, the question is, do I have authority over demons that don't want to leave, that are not in my presence? Yes, but it's not going to be, okay, I'm taking and piling my life up with everything in the world that I want to listen to, and with the world's philosophies and the world's education and the world's garbage. I have to have, it's God's word. That, and it's slow, but that, if you want God's power, that's what you have to do. And then he says, above all things, listen to what it says, over all things to the church, the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be walking as the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we have been given a line of garbage. Yes, it is the glorious church that shall all fall asleep on Sunday morning. And and it's dead. It's dead religion. It's dead works. There's nothing to it. This is life. This is power. This is authority. I said power. It's power from him. You don't have power. He made us literally to be, he created man to be weak. Think about this. He created angels, powers, principalities, rulers, authorities. These are rebelling against him. But angels he created as eternal beings. That was their purpose. And he also created them with power intrinsically. They have power. They can say, you lift up and come here, and it would, okay? Humans don't have that power, we hope. Anyway, that is, but They have power to, we see them destroying, one angel destroying an entire army. It just goes on and on and on. You were created to not have power. You're created, and let me explain this, and this will kind of help you out with this verse, what it says in Hebrews. For he created him a little lower than the angels. The angels have power. You don't. But then he did something. He put you in Christ and gave you the name that is above all names, including the names of angels. And he put that inside you. And he put it into the body of Christ. That is the fullness of him who fills all in all. And all of a sudden, you have no intrinsic power. The angels have intrinsic power. But I, as a member of the ecclesia, have authority. And when I'm speaking in his will of the fullness of him, the angels have limited power. I actually have contact with, I have actually have access to all power. Well, why don't I see it in your life? I just explained it to you. Because I was trained, and it's taken me a long time. It took me 15, 20 years to get the psychology out of my soul. Now, do I still know things that are true about man's behavior? Yes, but they're related more in here now. And it's not related with a humanistic bent and humanistic philosophy. Instead, it is that there are things in psychology that are actual knowledge. Like I said, most of it is philosophy. It's not truth. It's not science. Somebody, here's my opinion. Oh, well, yes. Nice. They don't know what they're talking about when it gets over into the philosophy. And so much of the stuff, if they've done experiments and shown it to be true, fine. But that's not what most of it is. Anyway, God is not saying, oh, you know, I'm against psychology, but he's against all of the junk that's in it, and that includes the lies. But if all you're doing is trying to learn that stuff, it's going to block and what? It's going to choke out this. Why would he be against things that are truth in the study of behavior of man? He's not. That's not what the Kawang. It's true. But most of it is not that. It's philosophy that's put in there. And they sneak it in all the time. And the issue is, will I turn to this and receive this? When I'm receiving this, I no longer am, the word is not choked. You know, the conduit is wide open.